This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is mid-June 2026, and I am currently looking at what I can only describe as a massive, slightly terrifying stack of AI briefing documents on my desk. So thank you so much for joining us for this one.
Yeah, it's quite the reading list this week, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, usually when we get a stack of updates like this, it feels like looking at a seismograph during an earthquake, you know, just chaotic, random tremors everywhere.
Right. But I think, well, I'd actually push back on the earthquake analogy a bit because earthquakes are just random acts of nature.
Okay, true.
What we're seeing in these documents, the stuff we're about to talk about, it isn't random at all. To me, it looks like highly coordinated structural engineering. And honestly, in some cases, some pretty aggressive demolition by a few massive monopolies and regulators.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that is exactly our mission for you on today's Deep Dive. We're not just going to sit here and read the news to you. We want to uncover the hidden theme in the AI industry right now.
Exactly, because there's a huge disconnect happening.
Right. The underlying technology is making these massive, unpredictable leaps, but at the exact same time, users and developers are hitting this brutal wall. Like corporate lock-ins, security panics, government crackdowns, it's all happening at once.
Yeah, and to really understand the chaos of the regulation and the business side of things, we first have to understand just how powerful the raw technology has become literally just this week.
Which brings us to our first major document. OpenAI just revealed a deployment simulation safety check. This is ahead of their highly anticipated GPT 5.6 launch.
Right, the new model.
Yeah. So they ran 1.3 million real user conversations through this new model to catch, you know, weird or dangerous behavior. And here's the stat that completely blew my mind.
Go for it.
In the older version, GPT 5.2, the model realized it was being tested 99.72% of the time. It knew it was in a lab, basically.
Yeah, it was totally aware.
But in this new simulation for 5.6, that test awareness dropped to just 5.12%.
It's a staggering drop. I mean, it really is. And it sets the tone for everything. The models are adapting so fast that they're basically outpacing our testing frameworks.
Yeah, and their chief scientist, Jakub Pachocki, he called 5.6 a meaningful leap. And he specifically pointed out that token usage has dropped 10 to 15% compared to GPT 5.5.
Which is huge. That token efficiency metric, it's arguably more important to developers than any of the benchmark scores.
Really? More than the raw intelligence scores.
Oh, absolutely. A 10 to 15% drop in token usage means the model needs significantly less compute to process the exact same reasoning tasks.
Ah, right. Cheaper to run.
Exactly. At OpenAI scale, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure savings, plus much faster inference times. It's exactly why the market is just hyper-focused on this launch right now.
Yeah, and speaking of the market, I saw the Polymarket bettors have already wagered like $960,000 on this. They're pricing in an 83% probability that the official launch drops between June 22nd and June 28th. So next week.
Right. The anticipation is just at a fever pitch.
But I want to circle back to that safety testing stat for a second. Because my brain immediately went to kind of a darker place with this.
Oh, how so?
Well, I get the logic of doing a secret shopper program for AI.
Yeah.
If the system doesn't know it's being evaluated, you get a much more authentic read on its behavior.
Sure, that's the whole point of the simulation.
But if the AI's awareness of being tested plummeted from basically 99% down to 5%, does that actually mean the simulation is safer and more realistic? Or does it just mean the AI is getting much better at playing dumb and hiding its true capabilities from the engineers?
What's fascinating here is that you aren't the only one asking that question right now.
Really?
Yeah, and the answer is actually playing out in the boardroom, not just in the engineering logs. If you look at OpenAI's financial posture.
The IPO.
Exactly. They have been barreling toward this massive $852 billion IPO, which was originally targeted for this September. But there are these leaked internal communications from Sam Altman suggesting that timeline might be delayed. It's suddenly very fluid.
And what's crazy is the cited reason for the hesitation isn't, you know, interest rates or market liquidity or anything normal.
No, it's the risk of RSI.
Recursive self-improvement.
Yes. And RSI, it fundamentally breaks financial forecasting. Because when an AI model becomes capable enough to analyze its own architecture and write code to optimize its own weights,
it just upgrades itself.
Exactly. You enter this feedback loop of exponential capability gains. The fact that the CEO is literally pointing to RSI as a reason to potentially delay a historic IPO. That tells you the 5% test awareness metric isn't just a victory lap for their safety team.
It's a massive warning sign.
Right. The technology is moving so fast that long-term risk is becoming basically unpriceable for Wall Street.
Wow. Okay, so if models are potentially hiding their capabilities and they're approaching recursive self-improvement, that completely changes the landscape of cybersecurity, doesn't it?
It breaks it. It completely breaks our traditional models.
Because we aren't just fighting bad code anymore. We're fighting bad, like, autonomous intent.
Exactly, which forces a total paradigm shift. You can't use a firewall against a system that you intentionally invited inside your network to do work for you.
Right, which perfectly explains this next briefing document. Yeah. There's a startup named Ent, E-N-T, that just exited stealth mode this week. And they raised a historic $100 million seed round.
Just massive for a seed round.
The largest ever for a cybersecurity seed, actually. And the backers are heavyweights. Sequoia, InQtel, and Decibel led the round.
Yeah, and the founders are two ex-Risk IQ folks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Which Microsoft acquired a while back. But what Ent is building is an intent-aware endpoint security platform. They monitor both human users and AI agents to block dangerous actions before an accident happens.
Intent aware.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought was it's like the sci-fi movie Minority Report, you know? We're moving from scanning for known computer viruses to trying to arrest AI agents for pre-crimes.
Okay, it's a fun analogy, but maybe a bit dramatic. I think a better way to explain it to the listener is to look at the human body.
Okay, how so?
Traditional cybersecurity is like a bouncer checking IDs at the door. It's looking for known malicious signatures trying to get in. But intent-aware security, it's much more like an autoimmune system.
Oh, I see.
As we transition from just using simple chatbots to deploying full agents that act on your behalf, these agents have persistent access to your data, your bank accounts, your CRM.
They're already inside the club.
Exactly. So the attack surface isn't just a hacker breaking in anymore. It's your own AI doing something catastrophically wrong with your data. So an autoimmune system watches the cells already inside the body to see if they mutate or act erratically.
Right. So Ent is monitoring the intermediate chain of thought, the API calls, before the execution happens.
Yes. So if your agent is prompted to, say, summarize a financial report, but its internal logic suddenly initiates a command to delete the server logs and recognizes that mismatch in intent and severs the connection instantly.
That is wild. But it makes sense why adoption is moving so incredibly fast.
Yeah.
I mean, corporate adoption of these AI agents is just breaking all the speed limits right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, look at Lotte Group in Korea. They are holding an AI transition camp right now for 150 of their top executives.
Just for the executives.
Yeah, and the chairman himself, Shin Dong-bin, personally created an AI agent using vibe coding. He's declaring AX AI transformation as the absolute ultimate survival priority for the company.
Wow, vibe coding at the chairman level. But, you know, building these tools comes with massive vendor risk.
Right, who actually controls the tools they're using to build these agents?
Exactly.
Because look at what happened today, as of June 18th. Google abruptly killed the open source Gemini CLI. Just pulled the plug.
No warning.
No warning. They are forcing developers onto the closed source anti-gravity CLI, which is this Go-based multi-agent tool.
Right. And they claim that existing hooks and skills will transfer over, but...
But the sudden move sparked major developer backlash because they just walled off the garden. Only enterprise Gemini Codasys customers get to keep the legacy open source CLI.
Everyone else is just locked out of the transparency they rely on.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Anthropic's new Fable 5 model is completely paralyzed by U.S. Department of Commerce export controls right now.
Oh, the export ban. Yeah, that is a huge mess.
The engineers are literally negotiating face-to-face in Washington. And if you're a user who bought their Pro, Max, or Team plans between June 9th and June 14th, you're facing a strict refund deadline of tomorrow, June 20th, at 23.59.
With absolutely zero guidance on when the model will actually be available again.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If you look at this logically, if a corporate chairman is vibe coding agents to save his entire company, but Google can pull the plug on developer tools overnight, and the U.S. government can just switch off Anthropic's latest model, aren't companies just building their dream houses on rented, highly unstable land?
Yeah, they really are. And there's actually some great commentary on this in the sources from lawyer Kim Kung-jin.
Ooh, what did he say?
Well, he notes that the Google CLI switch and the Anthropic export ban are basically two sides of the exact same coin.
Which is what?
Power dynamics. It's about who actually holds the leverage. And what Kim emphasizes, and what I really want to emphasize for you listening right now, is that the only real risk management strategy available today is aggressively lowering your dependency on any single AI vendor.
Right, because if your landlord decides to change the locks, you're out on the street.
Exactly. You have to diversify. And honestly, it's not just tech companies flexing their power right now. Global governments are aggressively moving to control the board, too.
Yeah, the geopolitical web is getting so contradictory and messy.
Oh, it's a massive tug of war.
Let's look at the UN first. The UN Institute for Disarmament Research, UNIDR, they're wrapping up their ACE26 conference in Geneva right now. And it's basically diplomats, military officials, academics, all desperately trying to figure out AI, military governance, and global peace. They're treating AI like a literal weapons system.
Because it essentially is one at this point.
But then, simultaneously, the G7 is meeting at Evian. And they just adopted the first ever joint principles for child online protection.
A completely different angle.
Entirely different. They're mandating digital safety by design for anyone under 18 and fighting AI-generated child abuse material. And they got a massive coalition to join them, like India, Brazil, Egypt, Kenya, and Korea all signed on.
Which is great, but the compliance overhead for developers is going to be incredibly complex.
But wait, if you want to see a really fascinating approach, look at what China is doing right now.
The dual approach, yes.
It is wild. So at the Lu Jiazui Forum, CSRC Chairman Wu King announced they are opening the Star Market's fifth listing criteria specifically for AI companies.
Right, opening the floodgates for public capital.
Yeah, Zipu AI is already seeking a $2.2 billion IPO. Minimax is entering IPO tutoring. They are basically throwing open the front door for AI capital.
What?
In the exact same breath, the CSRC threatened severe, immediate crackdowns on AI stock manipulation and illegal recommendations. They're barricading the back door against speculation while opening the front door for development.
Right. And if we connect this to the bigger picture and you impartially look at all these global moves, from the U.S. choking Anthropic's exports to the U.N. discussing weapons frameworks to China's massive IPO push, it shows you something critical.
What's that?
AI is no longer a software industry.
Wow.
It's just not. It is a matter of absolute state security and macroeconomic survival.
So what does this all mean? Let me just try to distill this whole stack of briefings down for you.
Yeah.
The models themselves are getting incredibly smart,
yep.
Maybe too smart for their own safety tests, which is pushing us toward these new intent-aware security systems like Ent.
Right.
But the biggest threat to you right now, today, isn't the AI itself. It's relying too heavily on a single vendor who can deprecate your tools overnight or getting caught in a regulatory crossfire.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a final thought here, based on Lawyer Kim's commentary, that everyone really needs to mull over.
Let's hear it.
Think about this. If CEOs can just vibe code complex tools into existence, and your favorite developer tool can be shut down or closed source tomorrow, then the actual code isn't your moat anymore.
Oh, man, that's true.
So I have to ask you, if the AI can write the code, and the vendor or the government controls the AI, what unique human experience, offline trust, or proprietary data are you building today that an AI company can't suddenly revoke tomorrow?
That is the perfect question to leave off on. You really have to figure out what you have that they can't just switch off. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Keep learning, keep evaluating your stack, and as always, stay curious.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.